Thanks for tuning in. It's Rosie on the House, your weekend wake-up tradition.
I talk to the tree, stop and hear what I say.
Come on around back, Arizona. It is Saturday morning. It's Rosie on the House, second Saturday of the month. We are talking trees. If you'd like to talk trees and join the conversation, a couple ways you can do so. 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Text questions can be sent to 411-923. Or you could email info@rosieonthehouse.com. You better keep those sprinklers going. I hear there's not going to be much of a monsoon this season.
Yeah.
It's got non-soon.
Non-soon. For a second year in a row, we've got ISA certified arborist John Eisenhower of Save a Tree in studio, and you have brought an army.
Brought a few guests in. Well, of course, my sidekick, Stephen, is with us this morning. Stephen Price with Save a Tree. And Young is a guest with us this morning. She also is an ISA certified arborist and a well-known person in the horticulture industry across Phoenix for the last number of decades, and she is now a new member of our team at Save a Tree. But also we have in studio with us the famed Richard Adkins, formerly with the City of Phoenix, now with the City of Tempe, an urban forester, and man, we got a team here today, the dream team.
Hopefully you love trees and you want to join us. Come on in.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
We are the truly unstumpable team today.
Well, let's see. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
No one can stump this tree gang right here. But I have to say, in 32 years of broadcasting, this is the scariest broadcast I've ever had.
What? Is that right?
Yeah.
How's that?
Ann was in my sophomore high school geometry class.
Uh-oh.
We have deliberately never invited anyone from my high school to come on air, except John Harper. John and I went to school together for 4 years, but I have as many stories on him as he has on me. So we have we cancel it out. We have this detente. But I want you to keep a close finger on Ann's button, Gary. If she goes off on Rosie High School stories, boom, kill her.
I put my track shoes on to run in there and shut her mic.
All right, here we go. Let's talk trees.
Starting with the tree of the month.
Well, the tree of the month is a favorite of everybody's. You know, sometimes there are some of our trees that we bring along that legitimately could have some detractors. This one, I'm not sure that there's too many people who have a bad word to say about the Cordia boissieri. It is a Texas olive tree. And I'm going to leave it right there because there's a couple of people, both Richard and Ann, love this tree and might have a few comments.
Yes, John, I think this is a great tree. It's very underutilized here in our landscapes because it works with both a mesic and a xeric landscape here in our valley. So if you well site this tree, it's actually a small shrub that you can prune into a tree. But if you well site it, it can bring you just beautiful color, wonderful flowers, and great shade to your landscape.
It's not too big either. That's what's kind of nice about it. I love that.
Yeah, you can get it. I've seen them up to 20, 25 foot. There's actually one that I know in Mesa that I can actually climb and do a little pruning on. But the way the branches kind of droop and hang down, it gives you a very nice canopy.
Ann, what do you say about the Cordia?
Do I have to? I think it's a beautiful tree. It's got the showy flowers and it's pubescence on the leaves makes it just kind of shimmer back to you and everything. It's a nice big leaf, evergreen tree. I call it a tall shrub, but it can be pruned and it's just gorgeous.
So when you say big leaf, and I picture olive, you know, which is more mesquite style where you've got thousands of tiny little leaves as opposed to like mulberry big leaf. How big is this Texas olive leaf?
3 to 5 inches. Yeah. Kind of a nice, big, thick, and it's a very thick leaf, has little hairs on it, kind of a velvety type texture.
Yeah, it's unique. It's got, a little roughness to the leaves. It's really a great desert tree, actually, really well desert adapted because it's bulletproof, doesn't have a lot of natural pests and problems. And again, evergreen, and it's just a really nice accent tree. I kind of was thinking this morning, why don't we see more of these in the landscape? You know, you said it's underutilized, Richard, but I wonder why it is that there are trees like that that are so have so many nice characteristics, why you don't see them more often, you know?
Well, one of the things is they are very, very, very messy. You know, that's the one thing. That's the other side of the coin to this tree. Like we talked about the desert willow last time, I believe, correct? And we talked about that as deciduous. And it's also got amazing flowering, you know, throughout the spring, right. Summer, fall. Just a beautiful tree. It looks dead and ugly, right, in the winter. Well, this one, it looks really beautiful all year, but it gets that really showy bloom and the fruit. And so there was a big push for this a few years ago, and you started seeing it planting all over the place, even in some HOAs as replacements for a lot of the trees that were dying and having issues. And they've done very well, but then they started saying, wow, you know, now you trade one thing for another, you know. So like Richard was saying, in the right place, they're amazing. And they're also cold hardy, you know, to about 25 degrees.
Down to about 18.
Yeah, 18 degrees. Lower. So unless we get a really, really hard freeze, you know, it's a pretty nice tree. And again, you get that really nice bloom early in the year and often late in the year after the monsoon rains.
And what color bloom?
Usually white.
Yeah, about 2 inch.
Yeah.
Two inch
very
diameter.
Creamy white, has a little yellow throat in the center. And like I say, if you get irrigation to it all year round in your landscape, it'll pretty much flower all year for you.
Well, I'm on the Audubon Society site, and it says it's great for hummingbirds and butterflies.
Yeah,
it is. Yes, it is. They love those
great
flowers.
Great bird life. Yeah. Not so tasty for us, but for wildlife, excellent.
It's a medicine in Mexico.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's not a true olive. It's just, it looks, the fruit that appears after the bloom drops is olive-shaped and has the appearance of an olive, but it's not a true olive.
And the color is somewhat of an olive green.
Kind of olive green.
Very similar.
Yeah, fruit.
Yeah. Yep.
So if I'm looking at my local nursery, do I have to know the botanical name or just Texas olive?
That'll get you there. And one of the other reasons I think they may be less popular than others is because they are a little slow growing.
They are slow growing.
Yeah. Yes. So it's gonna be a while before you get a 10 or 12 foot tall tree. It's, like Ann was saying, it's more of a large shrub, but they're a great screening plant. And because they're evergreen, you'll have that nice privacy screen. Plant a couple of those side by side, and you'll get a nice little screen if you're looking for some blocks of view or just fill in a space. They're really good for that purpose.
And a lot of people think if you look at them from a distance, they actually look like a white oleander.
Yes.
With the way the shape and the flowers are when you have them as a shrub. But they're also a good tree for under power lines or under utility lines.
There you go.
Because they don't get high enough.
They don't get high enough, but they still provide a nice screen, and they can provide some shade and, like you said, the wildlife benefit.
Now, you said they're slow growing. It seems like the slow growing, especially in the desert, that usually makes them stronger and hardier and more drought tolerant. If they're slow growing and the metabolism is growing, so they can go those long periods like we have right now between rains, and you're not really seeing this kind of stress on them that you would see on a lot of other trees.
Yeah, they're a native to northern Mexico, southern Texas, and they're just they're super drought tolerant, and good for this climate. And, you know, that goes to be said for a lot of our desert trees. Yeah, if they're these smaller, more compact trees, are not giving up as much water to, you know, evaporation. No, they're good little plants that you can count on to be a good contribution to your landscape if you've got that little small space to fill.
And they really do like full sun. So even though they have the bigger leaves like we're talking about, that you don't see a lot of desert or drought-tolerant type plants that have those large leaves, they really are fairly drought-tolerant and can take that. Even, like you said, we haven't had rain since, April. Some that I know, they're starting to look a little on the peaked side, but they're still pretty much holding their own.
Yeah, so again, just a little bit of a summary of what we've been talking about. People are probably wondering, okay, well, what size is it? The average size is probably around 15 feet, you know, if you let it grow. But again, slow to moderate growth, depending on the site conditions, likes good drainage. But if you kind of think about, like we were saying, it could be a small patio tree, or like Richard said, it could be trained to grow up much taller than that in the right conditions.
And when you say 15 feet, you're talking in height.
Correct. I'm sorry.
And yeah. Looking at pictures, it looks like the height and diameter of this tree is pretty
about
similar.
The same, yeah.
Yeah, correct. It's about
yes.
The same.
Yes.
Nice round canopy, yep.
So 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you if you'd like to talk trees. I didn't mention this earlier. I apologize. There is a little auto attendant that comes on and answer, and it's a recorded message. Just hit one. When you hear that, it'll bypass the message, put you right in to the studio. The Texas olive is our tree of the month. And let's get our first tip out of the way before we hit our first break. What's on our talking trees to do this month?
Well, you know, our kind of focus today is just really, what do you do during the dog days of summer? This is our time when you've got these extended periods of drought. It is essentially a monsoon right now. Our monsoon goes from technically from the 15th of June until the 30th of September. Average is really for about 6 or 8 weeks in the middle of the summer, July through August. And we just haven't seen any rain. And this is time to be kind of thinking about what do you do? We talked a little bit last month about the importance of deep watering. Make sure that you get a good deep soaking to the depth of your deepest roots. And then don't water again until that soil profile is adequately dried out. You don't want to be putting water on top of water on top of water. But also, you know, we talked a little bit about mulch. I guess you spread a little bit of mulch the last few days, Romy, from what I gather.
We did.
It's a good
60 tons of it.
Wow, that's a lot of, I saw the little picture of your son, Remy, driving that little skid steer.
After about the 10th
in violation of child labor laws, I'll have you know.
Hey, it was completely voluntary. I couldn't get him out of there. I wanted to drive, and he wouldn't let me.
But mulch is such a great contribution to our landscape in any form. You know, putting a layer of some materials over the top of our root zone of our trees just helps to insulate the soil from the heat of the sun. And also, it keeps the moisture in. Once you put the moisture into the soil, it's kind of nice to have that mulch layer there that kind of helps to hold it there.